Today's episode is brought to you by Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast. When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Klass as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. At Navy Federal, it's been the mission to help the military community for over 90 years. And not just help them, but do everything to make sure they not only grow, but flourish. That's why Navy Federal Credit Union has all kinds of great savings and investment options, like share certificates with sky-high rates. So don't hesitate. Start growing your finances today with a variety of savings and investment options. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Savings products insured by NCUA. Investment products are not insured. Not obligations of Navy Federal and may lose value.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome to Stuff from the Science Lab from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hey guys, and welcome to the podcast. This is Allison Lattermilk, the science editor at HowStuffWorks.com.
And this is Robert Lamb, science writer at HowStuffWorks.com.
And today we're doing the third podcast in our very first recurring series. And that series has been looking at how different celestial bodies get their start. Today we're talking about galaxies. If I had to listen to this series, I'd start with galaxies, then go to stars, and then listen to planets. Just for a heads up, if you haven't heard any of them.
Oh, okay. But not because of preference, right? Because...
No, just because it makes sense.
Because one thing that occurred to me when I was actually writing our article about galaxy formation is that this one I think is often overlooked because, like, the formation of the universe, like that, like the Big Bang, like that's so huge and mind-boggling that, like, you instantly think of that. And then things like the formation of a planet or the solar system, that's a lot closer to home and you can relate to that a little better. But a galaxy, that's just kind of somewhere in between. It's not...
It's a middleman.
Yeah. I mean, it's enormous. It's on such an enormous scale, but not on such a just mind-boggling cosmic scale that people sit around and, I think, ponder it, unless you're, you know, actually a cosmologist or an astrophysicist. So we have to back up to the Big Bang, but we're not going to get into the Big Bang.
So what is a galaxy? Tell me.
A galaxy? Well, it is the largest structure in the universe. And it binds billions or even trillions of stars together in a big gravitational yoke.
What else is in galaxies besides stars?
Well, you've got planets.
Yep.
Yep. cats, dogs. Well, that's on the smaller scale. But no, you've got cosmic dust, vast clouds of gas, you know, comets, like everything, really. If you can name it, it's in a galaxy.
Including dark matter.
Yes, dark matter, dark energy, all that good stuff.
So let's rewind roughly 14 billion years ago to when galaxies got their start.
Yeah, back to the Big Bang, which is our best theory about how all this came about. And I like to think of, and this is a very basic analogy, but I like to think of it this way. Imagine you have a map of the universe, right? Spread out on a table.
Yes.
Now imagine the entire map, like, wadded up into a single ball of paper. But a ball of paper, like... just microscopic in size, you know, just ridiculously small.
Yeah, I've come across a few different estimations of how big or how small the that singularity was. Yeah. Some people say it's about the size of a dime. Other people say it's smaller than an electron.
Yeah, yeah. You see it. See size estimations varying. But whatever the exact size, a whole lot, like everything, the entire universe crunched down to one unimaginably small. Because whether we were talking about the size of a quarter, or the size of a basketball, or the size of an atom, that's a lot of universe packed into one gobstopper. And then it expands. And,
rapidly.
Yeah. And you have
very
all this
rapidly.
Hot matter. It ends up cooling. But nothing has, there's not really any structure. It's not like, wham, now we have, you know, galaxies and planets, et cetera. You just have a lot of like, it's like raw, uncooked galaxy. No, not, I mean, raw, uncooked universe out there.
Yeah. You have the ingredients.
Yeah. You just have a lot of gas, a lot of dust just floating out there.
So how do those ingredients evolve into more than 100 billion galaxies?
Well, there are two bodies of theories, according to NASA, about how this came about. All right? There are bottom-up theories, and there are top-down theories.
Okay.
And
they sort of sound like what they are.
Yeah. You know, it's kind of like in a bottom-up theory, the gas, all this gas and dust collapses and compresses into a clump about the size of a million suns. And that's starting small for something that's going to become, you know, galaxies. All right. These clumps then merge to build galaxies. All right.
Okay.
Again, bottom up. As we touched on in some previous podcasts, this is accretion. This is the process of little particles coming together, forming slightly larger particles, which then have a gravitational pull on other particles. It's like a snowball going down a hill.
Right. If you're listening to these podcasts, there's definitely a theme of accretion running through all of them.
Yeah. So, yeah, this one is just that, yeah, the gas collapse into enormous but cosmically small clumps, which then end up forming larger clumps, which become galaxies.
Right. And then you have your top-down theories, which, of course, start big. And the school of thought is going to argue that the resulting clumps were each the size of multiple galaxies. Mm-hmm. And then the size got too big to manage, and they broke down into our individual galaxy, like the Milky Way galaxy. And if you follow this train of thought, then you get an understanding of why galaxies occur in clusters. But either way, bottom up, top down, the resulting clumps then collapsed into proto-galaxies, which consisted of dark matter and hydrogen gas.
Yeah, and then the hydrogen then falls to the center of the proto-galaxy, while the dark matter remains as an outer halo surrounding everything.
You know, when we were researching this podcast, it came across another interesting theory, that of hierarchical formation, in which merging of established galaxies occurs too. And so the story on it was this. Researchers from University of Switzerland saw some merging galaxies in a group dubbed SG1120-12, which is a very sexy name for a galaxy.
Oh, yeah, those galaxies.
Right. And roughly 4 billion light years away. And they reported their findings in the August 2008 issue of the Astrophysical Journal Letters. Have you read that lately, Robert?
Oh, yeah.
So they were saying that smaller galaxies were destined for one another courtesy of the mutual gravitational attraction, and then they formed these massive galaxies.
Okay.
So that was their take on it. And their theory also stipulated that star formation would primarily occur when galaxies were small, but they would gather all their mass during the mergers. But we'll get to star formation in a second.
So astronomers recognize two basic shapes for galaxies. There's elliptical, and then there's spiral.
And we're a spiral galaxy?
Well, we're technically a spiral bar galaxy.
Yeah, right. But a lot of them are, actually.
Yeah.
A lot of the spiral galaxies are.
Essentially, we're a spiral galaxy, yeah.
And you also have your disorganized galaxies, which are kind of my favorite.
Yeah.
Which, if you think about two galaxies merging, maybe when they first merge, they're a bit disorganized, and then they sort themselves out into their neat spiral shape or their elliptical shape. But who knows? They're not sure of that. And then there's a third type of galaxy, the disorganized galaxy, which you have to kind of identify with this kind of galaxy, right?
I'm not that disorganized, but...
No, that was not personal, Robert. Although, are you disorganized?
No, just in... I'm organized, but in a disorganized fashion at times. It depends on what I'm doing.
Well, they say that people who have very organized desks have too much time on their hands, right?
Yeah. And then some people don't decorate their offices at all or their cubicles. That's just, I don't know if that's being really organized or that's just being lame.
I know somebody at work who had decorated their cubicle and then took it down in protest when she had a bad day one day.
Really?
And she never put it back up, I don't think.
Huh. It's an odd form of protest. See, it didn't convey anything to me.
Attachment, detachment, yeah. I think. So these, so you have your spirals, you have your ellipticals, and then, at least initially, merged galaxies might not like these two main shapes. They might be disorganized. But eventually, astronomers believe that the merged galaxies result in an elliptical galaxy. As such, our Milky Way has probably never merged with another galaxy because, again, it's that barred spiral shape. But the massive elliptical galaxies found at the center of galaxy clusters are probably the result of some serious cosmic mashups.
Yeah, it's just, it's almost, it's kind of like a accretion on a huge scale with just galaxies running into each other, just becoming this big, enormous thing.
But the interesting thing that I was reading about is just because two galaxies pass close by, they don't have to merge. They don't have to make this one big galactic family. Rapidly moving ones, I read, can pass through one another. It's sort of like ghosts, almost.
Yeah.
But the slower moving ones seem to be likely to get all up in each other's business and merge.
Okay. Something to keep in mind when we eventually merge with Andromeda, right?
Indeed. So let's talk about star formation in the elliptical and spiral galaxies.
Okay.
How does that figure in?
All right, well, stars develop inside a protogalaxy when the clouds of gas mix and collide. So if all the stars in a protogalaxy form at once, then the mature galaxy essentially retains the roundish shape of the protogalaxy and becomes an elliptical galaxy.
Spiral galaxies, however, occur when the stars inside the protogalaxy arise at different intervals. So, you know, they're not popping up all at once. They're happening at different times. And the gas between the developing stars continues to collapse, and the resulting gravitational differences manhandle the protogalaxy stars, the dust, and the gas. What do you know? This motion starts to force everything into a rotating disk, and additional differences in gravity result in the spiral arms.
It's kind of like when I was trying to make sense of this, I thought of it in terms of, like, imagine, like, with an elliptical galaxy, like, imagine a town where everybody's the same age. You know? So
yeah.
You only, like, everybody's, like, 35, so you only have the kind of places 35-year-olds hang out. Like, no, you know, no place where, like, teenagers roll or where.
Oh, it's one
people...
of those over 55 communities. That's what it is.
Yeah, yeah, that kind of thing. Whereas the elliptical has, like, an elliptical galaxy is like a town where you have guys of all ages.
Oh, diversity,
you know?
Yes.
Where there's diversity and conflict, you know, spinning everything around. So.
Much more interesting place to live,
yes.
If you're into that.
Yeah. So that's my convoluted analogy of the day.
Did you know that the Milky Way galaxy is rotating and will complete a revolution in 250 million years?
Oh, wow. Like a galactic year, that would be. Okay.
Yeah. It's a lot longer than one of those restaurants that rotates at the top of a hotel.
I will mark it on my calendar. Put that in Google Calendar. Alert. Galactic year just finished.
Well said, Robert. So that was kind of a light intro to galaxy formation. If you guys want to hear more about the mechanics of galaxy formation or get deeper into the topic, send us an email at sciencestuff@howstuffworks.com and we'll see what we can do.
For instance, like bottom-up theories, there are a number of bottom-up theories. There are a number of top-down theories. But
there are a number of steps.
Yeah, but these are the basics. And obviously there's a lot of formation that continues, at lower levels within the galaxy, which we've touched on in other podcasts.
Yeah, as always, you can type galaxies into the search bar on How Stuff Works homepage and see what good stuff that brings up. You're going to see how galaxies work. Maybe whether space has a shape. This is a good one.
Is there a hole in space? That's another one we have.
Yeah, or the Big Bang Theory written by Strickland. And I think you did a good job.
Hey, and we also have a Facebook and a Twitter account now. So you can check those out. Just search for Stuff in the Science Lab or Lab Stuff.
On Twitter, yeah.
On Twitter or Facebook.
That's
and
our
that'll
handle.
Lead you right to us. And we update that thing pretty regularly. Come see what scientific topics we're thinking about this week.
So that's all the galactic goodness we have for you guys today. Thanks for listening.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit HowStuffWorks.com. Want more How Stuff Works? Check out our blogs on the HowStuffWorks.com homepage.
To Today's episode is brought to you by Visible. The future of wireless is here, and it's transparent. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 a month, every month, taxes and fees included. No hidden fees, no surprises, no, really.
What are you waiting for? Get with the times and switch to Visible at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan for data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.